Appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful for His mercy that renews every morning and His compassions that never fail. I'm thankful that I can cast all my care upon Him, for He cares for me and He cares for you today. And I'm thankful that that's there, a comfort inside my heart, that He does care for us and that He does love us. Because if He didn't love us, He would have never left heaven. You know, love compelled Him to leave heaven and die for the sins of the entire world. He died for me. He died for you. He died for every religion that people make up, or every religion out there, or any color, any nationality, any race, anybody, man and woman. He died for everybody, and He didn't leave anybody out. And I'm thankful by the simplicity of the gospel. I got saved over 5 years ago, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's just so wonderful every day to know and to have a comfort inside my heart how the peace He gives is just an everlasting peace. As long as you put Him first, that peace just grows and grows and grows, and the joy just gets better and better, and His presence gets stronger and stronger. The more you put Him first, the more you pray, the more you study, the more you seek His face, the better and better it gets. And I'm thankful to be a part of this great and perfect, complete salvation. I'm thankful there is no 30 or 60 or 90 day plans. He did everything perfect. He did everything eternal. And I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful that when I die, I don't have to worry about where I'm going to go, if I'm going to go to hell or if I'm going to go, you know, to purgatory, to some space that doesn't really matter, or come back as a butterfly, or all that's fictitious and phony. But I'm thankful there's only two destinations. But the bad thing is that a lot of people really don't know about a place called hell. They've heard of it. They think about it sometimes, but they really don't believe it. And that we need more fear of God in this world. Preachers out there are not really preaching about a place called hell. They're not really preaching about the devil, sin, and Satan and this rotten, stinking flesh, and how it needs to be put down every day, and how we need to repent of our sins before we all likewise perish. You don't hear that in churches. All you hear about them is how you're going to be healed of your disease if you give your money to them, if you fill up their little basket of money, if you fill up the rest of the baskets there and go to the ATMs and just take out cash, write checks to the church, write checks to them, buy them a mansion, buy them jets, and then you'll be blessed. You'll be healed of your disease. That's just phony. That's fictitious. That's wrong. That's fleshly. That's devilish. And it just grieves my heart to hear about all these types of people that are being confused in the churches. These preachers out there, they really don't even care about your soul. They don't care about anything that you have to do in life. They don't really care about your disease. They could care less. As long as you give your money, that's all they care about. They twist the scriptures that said, blessed is them that give than to receive. It's better to give than to receive. But they just twist that scripture and put it upon their own selves so they can pat their back pocket full of your money. It's a rotten, sinful society that we live in. The preachers are worse off than some of these people that are in prison. And that's a fact. People, they're confusing more people. They're putting people in hell. They're sending them right into hell. And they just need prayer. They need a lot of help. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I'm just preaching the truth today, and I want everybody to be saved. I don't have any respect of persons. I love everybody the same way. Yes, you have a special love for your own immediate family because you were born there with them and you've been with them your whole life. But I just have a love for souls. I have a love for all people the same, and I'm just thankful that God has put that in me over 5 years ago. It's the best life to live. I've lived on both sides. I've ran in sin. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've lived this way. I tasted of this. I tasted of that. But nothing ever satisfied me like Jesus did over 5 years ago. It was the best decision that I've ever made. I made many wrong decisions. I listened to the devil when I was age 13 years old. When I first heard the word of God, when I first knew that I was a sinner, I was 13 years old, and the man of God was standing behind the pulpit every Sunday and Wednesday preaching to me, and I heard it finally. I heard that I was a sinner, but see, the devil came right then and there, and he said, no, you need to go this way. You have so much stuff that we haven't tried yet in life. You're only 13 years old. You have so much to try. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're not going to have bad problems. You just go out there for a little while. Wait until you get a family. Wait till you get a house. house, a car, get a big bank account, and try all these new things. And then later on, when you're 50 years old, 60, just wait until then get saved. Then you can have kids and everything in line and in order. Then you can get saved and put out an effort for God. But see, the devil is just a lie from the devil, and he's lying to you today if you're trying to run from the call of salvation. If you're trying to run away from this great salvation, the devil has something for everybody. He knows us better than we know our own selves. He knows our flesh. He knows what tempts us. He knows where to get us when we're weak. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're strong. He knows everything. And that's scary to know that, but I'm thankful that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The devil's on a loose. He's on a rampage. He's walking to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. And I'm thankful that God's in charge. He has all preeminence. He has all power. And I just trust to have all my faith and trust in him. Over those 7 long, dreadful years that I took, I wasted listening to the devil, trying this and trying that, and I just came up empty every single time. And what a shame it was. A preacher's grandson that knew the word of God, that knew how to get saved. I knew better. I knew the truth, but yet I was rebellious. I didn't want nobody to tell me right. I didn't want nobody to tell me yes or no. I didn't care what anybody had to say. I was just rude. I was stubborn. I just thought I knew everything, but I'm thankful that God dealt with me in a special and tender way, just the way he knew how, and he got alive inside of me when I finally cried out to him with all my heart, when I finally decided to get over my rotten, stinking self, when I finally decided to give my whole life to God. That's when he got alive in me, when I cried out to him with that broken heart and that contrite spirit. That's when God spoke to me. That's when he came and abode in my heart, and he's been with me ever since. It's been the most precious and wonderful thing that's ever happened to me, and it's pure joy and pure peace, and it's just everlasting. As long as you put him first, it's at peace and joy is always there. You can't lose this great salvation. You don't get saved 30, 60, 50, 1,000 times down the road. You don't get saved that many times. You get saved once, and that's it. If you haven't had a time where you got down on your knees, or where you got down on the knees of your heart, and you cried out to God with all your heart, with that broken heart and contrite spirit, if you've never had that time in life where you can think back and you remember a time where you got by yourself and you cried out to God, you said, "Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong in life. I know I've sinned against you. I know I've tried this. I know I've done this. And Lord, I want you to forgive me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die in my sins right now, because if I died in my sins right now, I would go straight to hell. I know hell was created for the devil and his angels, but I don't want to go there, Lord. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins and help me. I want the free gift of eternal life. I want peace. I want joy. I've been trying to look for it for all my life. I've tried drinking. I've tried smoking. I've tried doing drugs. I've tried having sex with so many women or men. I've tried all these things, and Lord, I'm still empty. I'm actually worse off than I was before I even started all this. I pray, Lord, that you would save me. I pray that you would help me. If you've cried like that, if you really were remorse and sorrowful that you sinned against him about all that you've done, then he saved you. Then he got alive in your heart. You feel that peace and joy that came inside of you. You felt something different. That old man died. The new man was born in you. That's the Lord of glory. That's the Lord Jesus that died and was crucified for every man, boy, woman, and girl. I'm thankful that he did. He left the splendor of heaven. He knew his destiny, yet he still left because love compelled him to go. And that's just such a wonderful and precious memory, and what I can think about. I can read this precious Bible and see all that he did here while he was on earth, how he healed the lame and he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. He opened up the hearts. He blessed and he healed, and people still didn't believe who he was. They called him a devil, and they said, "How do I heal if I'm of the devil?" And they said that you said that you were going to break down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, and that just convicted their heart because they didn't believe that, because they said it took many and many years to build that temple. But see, he wasn't talking about, the temple made with hands. He was talking about his own temple, how he was going to be crucified, how he was going to give his life at Calvary, and how he was going to go down to hell and burn in hell for 3 days, 3 nights, and raise up again the third day. That was that Easter morning, that Sunday morning he rose up, and that's why it's the first day of the week when Jesus rose up from the dead, and he went around and went to his disciples, and he showed himself there and showed the print of his hands and the hole that was in his side there, and they didn't believe him. And Andrew was one of the disciples, and he said, "I wouldn't believe it until I thrust my hand in his side and and where they pierced him at, and through his hands, he said, I can't see him until I do this. I won't believe it. And then, you know, Jesus said, the scripture said, blessed are those that believe and not see. He said, Andrew, you're seeing me, and it's good that you believe in me, but see, blessed are those that don't see me yet believe in the heart. And that's what it's all about today, is believing inside your heart, really being remorse and contrite and sorrowful with all your heart. That's when God will get alive in you. Maybe you're going through breakups. Maybe you're going through a bad addiction and you need help. You're trying to find incarcerations. You're trying to go to drug rehab. You're trying to go to different things and counselors. But see, I know the mighty counsel, the great physician that can heal all diseases, that can heal all problems and addictions and temptations. He's greater than all of it. And I'm thankful that I can go to him in prayer and leave all my care upon him, because he cares for me. He delivers me from every problem I might have in life. He helps me through every situation, every temptation. We can read about the Bible, all these temptations that went through, the people went through, when Daniel went through, when he was cast down into that den of lions because he believed in God. They couldn't find anything considering the law. They didn't know what to do. They knew that he was an upright and perfect man considering the law. He did everything right. He did everything righteous and right. He did everything. He dotted every I and crossed every T of that law during that time that he was captive from the Babylonian captivity there. And he did everything right. And these Chaldeans tried to find accusations against him. And he was just, they couldn't find it concerning the law. But they said, why don't we twist it a little bit concerning the law of his God and how he goes to prayer every day, three times a day, they said. And they went to Darius at the time was king. And they said, Darius, O king, live forever. They know they were kissing up to him, no doubt. And, you know, they said, live forever. Let's make it sound like it's not really bad. Let's sign a writing here, Darius, and that if anybody ask a petition of any man or any god save of thee, Darius, then they shall be cast in this den of lions. And when you sign it, it cannot be undone. It's, you know, of the law and the Medes and the Persians. And he said, okay, it's just 30 days. That's not bad. Let's just go ahead and sign this writing. It'll be over before you know it. And he didn't think about Daniel. He knew who Daniel was. He knew Daniel was a righteous man. He was a saved man. And Darius knew that. He thought a lot of Daniel, but he didn't think about that at the time. He just went ahead and signed it. And they went to Daniel the very next day or the next hour. And as soon as Daniel heard of it, he heard that the law was signed into writing. You know what he did? He went straight to his room. He opened the windows and looked out toward the Jerusalem, towards heaven. And he started praying and making his petitions known unto God. And that's the way I want to be. No matter how much fire we go through, no matter what the devil tries to do, I'm always going to have my prayer. I'm always going to have my study. As long as God being my helper, I'm going to preach his precious word. I don't care what the devil has to say about it. I don't care what kind of bounce back I have, or what the Bible said, be not dismayed at the faces and what's being said. Just keep preaching my word, and I will bless you, and I will help you, and I'll give you strength. I'm not afraid of any man. I'm not afraid of anybody, but I do fear the God's presence and how the devil can work on our flesh. I do fear that. This flesh scares me, and I know what it's capable of, and it does scare me. I want God to take the preeminence in everything in my life, but I'm thankful we can read these trials in the Bible and how Daniel was there, and he went to that prayer closet, so to speak, and he looked out towards heaven in Jerusalem. He opened his windows, and he prayed three times a day once again, and they came to him, and they saw Daniel praying. They went to Darius. They said, hey, Darius, somebody's, you know, making a petition known unto God, and it's Daniel. And his heart sunk, no doubt, at that time. He said, oh, my God, what have I done? And he tried throughout the whole entire night. He tried to deliver Daniel from that, but he knew once he signed something into law of that Mede and the Persians there, they said it's not undone. And he tried and he tried, but he fasted all night. And usually Darius would have music to come to him and help him sleep and take dinner to him. But see, he didn't eat. He didn't have any music. He fasted that night. And he told Daniel, I believe that God can deliver you, but as long as you believe, I believe it too. And Daniel was cast down to that den, and they know Darius took his signet, and he closed it up with that signet, with that big rock in the hole. And they said he fasted through the night. He barely slept any. He woke up early in the morning. He went to that den. He said, oh Daniel, is that God whom thou believest in? Is he able to deliver thee from the lion mouth? And Daniel said, O King, live forever. God in whom I believed, he delivered me, and he closed the mouth of the lions. He closed their mouths there, and because Daniel believed in the Lord Jesus, he believed in him there, and that's why God delivered Daniel that day. That's why God had mercy upon him, because he believed in him. And that's what you need to do today, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, and you'll find every answer that you possibly need in life. He'll give you everything you need. Most of all, he'll give you that true peace and joy that you're looking for. Do some praying. I see my time's about gone. May God bless you all in Jesus' precious name, and amen.